So our catechism question for this morning is question 21, or for those of you who are more familiar with the shorter catechism, it would be question 22, but this is Spurgeon's revision. So we're on question 21. How did Christ, being the Son of God, become man? Christ, the Son of God, became man by taking to himself a true body and a reasonable soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary and born of her, yet without sin. So this morning we're looking at in our catechism question, the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. The humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's, if you like, the how, as the question is put. If Christ is the Son of God, as he is, as we looked in our question last week, how did Christ, being the Son of God, become man? How is it that one who is in one essence with God the Father could become man? This is what really the question is asking this morning. The answer is given. Christ, the Son of God, became man by taking to himself a true body and a reasonable soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary and born of her, yet without sin. And first of all, we consider what Christ was and remains. What Christ was and remains. Christ, the Son of God. As we learned last week, he is the eternal Son of God. One essence of one being with the Father. He is the eternal Son of God. And this is a doctrine that has been in the history of the church attacked, but also the humanity of Jesus Christ. The humanity of the Lord Jesus has been attacked in history. So we read in our answer, Christ the Son of God became man. What he became. But then the answer in our question tells us how he became man. Two important aspects of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, by taking to himself a true body. A true body. In other words, his body was no different in the physical sense than our body. No different. It's the same human body that we possess. The same in every way, with one exception that we'll consider in a few moments. So therefore, Hebrews 2 verse 14 reads, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. He also himself likewise took part of the same. He has the same flesh and blood that we possess. The very same. And as we've made mention a couple of times so far, these doctrines are so important. For unless the Lord Jesus Christ is fully man, he cannot be the mediator between God and men. In order to be the mediator in the proper sense, he must be both God and man. But then the second phrase, or the second clause, is this clause, and a reasonable soul. Now the word reasonable there means rational. There was a heresy in the early church called Apollinarianism. And Apollinaris rejected the idea that Christ had a human soul. He did accept that Christ had a human body, but he rejected the idea of the rational soul. He believed that it was just God in a human body. And so it was there wasn't a human soul in the person of Jesus Christ. But not only did Christ take to himself a true body, but also a reasonable or rational soul. So therefore Matthew 26 verse 38 reads, Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And the Lord Jesus would only say that if he had a human soul. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And Hebrews 4:15, For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In all points. In other words, the meaning is here that it's because the Lord Jesus Christ possesses a rational soul, a real soul, a human soul, that he can sympathize and empathize and feel the things that we feel, the infirmities, the weaknesses, not sinful ones, but all those other weaknesses that goes with being human, that go with being frail humanity. The Lord Jesus Christ experienced and felt all those feelings. He felt sorrow. He felt tiredness. He felt hunger. He felt all those things that we feel in the normal thing of what it is to be human beings. But then, next it says, and considering the miraculous origin of Christ's humanity, being conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary and born of her. The miraculous origin of Christ's humanity. So, even though he has a true body and a reasonable soul, the means by which he received that true body and that reasonable soul was not the same as we receive our body and soul. No, there was a miraculous origin. This conception took place by the power of the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary and born of her. Therefore Luke 1:31 and 35 reads, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The miraculous origin of Christ's humanity. And finally, the unique purity of Christ's humanity. Yet without sin. So Christ is like us in every way, except without sin. He lived his whole human life on earth without ever offending the law of God even in one place. He was, as Hebrews 7:26 tells us, for such an high priest became us, or was suitable for us, or was appropriate for us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. It could be said of the Lord Jesus, more than any other man, he was in the world, but not of the world. He was among sinners, but separate from sinners. He lived and communed and did all the normal things of human society, but he was different because he was holy. He was harmless. He was undefiled, separate, and made, as our text said, made higher than the heavens. And this is why we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We worship him because of his divinity, but also because of his unique humanity. We worship him as the Son of God and as the Son of Man. So how did Christ, being the Son of God, become man? Christ, the Son of God, became man by taking to himself a true body and a reasonable soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary and born of her, yet without sin.